We thank you, Lord, for the word today. May you speak to our hearts, Lord, especially in this moment of grace. We praise you and bless your name. Have you ever experienced a burning temptation? No, of course you haven't. No. We'd be liars, wouldn't we, if we were to say we hadn't experienced pressing temptation come upon us in one way or another. And that's why today's gospel is good news. Because today, firstly, we notice that Jesus has just been baptized in the Jordan. He's experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it says he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, prepare yourself for trouble. Jesus in the desert. For 40 days, that's why we have 40 days of Lent. Reminds us, doesn't it, of the Israelites being tested in the desert for 40 years when God drew close to them and spoke to their hearts from Mount Sinai. Reminds us too of Moses up on the mountain for 40 days encountering the Lord as he receives the first covenant. But now we're speaking about Jesus, 40 days in the desert, being tempted by the evil one. And it's good news for us because he prevailed. He who shared in our humanity completely, he wasn't just a pretend human being, he was fully human in every way we are, but he did not sin. It says in Scripture in Hebrews, he was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not succumb to the temptation. And there, my brothers and sisters, is the good news. There is the victory for you and I, who in our weak human nature experience temptation. We do not have to succumb because Jesus has experienced it before us. And he has overcome. He has had the victory. It's good for us to look at the temptations because it reminds us something about ourselves. The first temptation comes to Jesus from Satan after he's been 40 days fasting. And it says he was hungry. You would be, wouldn't you? And the enemy comes saying, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into a loaf of bread. And Jesus replies, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, the temptation, this first temptation, is really about self-gratifying desire. It's about self-indulgent behavior. The enemy will come often to us to invite us down the path of feeding ourselves lavishly in a way that shuts out the life of God. Our basic appetites are hungry, the passions within us, and they are roused up by the evil one and can be so destructive if we allow them to govern us. But by the grace of God, we gain self-mastery over these basic appetites that can become so disordered, where we grab for what we can get. Jesus had it within his power. But he knew That was not the purpose of God. And he says those words, man does not live on bread alone, but we live by God. And his whole purpose was to do the will of the Father. That was his food, he says later. My food is to do the will of the Father, the one who sent me. So because Jesus was able to resist that temptation, so we too are able to resist when the flesh temptation comes strongly against us, as it surely will, even at my age, as old and crippled as I am. Even now, we will have that until the grave. But we do not have to succumb. We can stand firm and strong in Christ the victor. Praise God! But notice that the devil says, if you are the Son of God. You see, he's saying to him, prove yourself. You claim you're God. Well, prove it. Do something miraculous. Draw attention to yourself. You see, and that's actually the second temptation. I'm taking them in the sequence of Matthew rather than Luke. The second temptation in Matthew is the third one in Luke. But this one, he comes again. Takes Jesus to the parapet of a temple. And the parapet of the temple is very high. I've been there. You can look down and it's a long way down. And the enemy says, throw yourself down. Because it says in Scripture, notice Satan quoting Scripture. He always does that. Be careful. Quoting Psalm 91. No, the angels will look after you, it says. And they will guard you. And you will not sort of prick your foot against the stone. That's what it says in Psalm 91. But it wasn't the purpose of God. Throw yourself down, you see, do something spectacular. Be a celebrity. Show off your power. Get the applause of the people. Accolades from everywhere. You're the Son of God. You see, there's something in us that wants to be the celebrity. Look at me. I need you to applaud me. I need you to think I'm great. I need you to shout and clap and sing for me. Always for me. That's a basic temptation in our human nature. And Jesus says, you shall not put the Lord God to the test. Quoting Scripture back at Satan. Yes, my friends. And then the third temptation comes, and this is really the ultimate one. Satan takes Jesus to the highest mountain and gives him a vision of all the kingdoms of the world. Just imagine that. He says, all of this has been committed to me, because it says in 1 John, doesn't it, that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. All of this has been committed to me. All the wealth, all the power, all the status. It's under my control to give it to you. And so you can have it. But you must bow down and worship me. It's the temptation to worship other than the living God. To worship your bank account. To worship even another person who is your beloved. In the place of God. Now, to worship a cause, it's a good cause, but to worship it in such a way that shuts out the living God. Jesus says in Scripture, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. The first commandment. And so he resists on our behalf, my brothers and sisters, because we are prone to want these things, to crave for the things of this world, to crave for reputation and status and power. We have people who are giving their whole lives for this sort of purpose. And then their life is ended up empty. They thought they had everything, but at the moment of death, they have nothing. And they have to face the living God, to worship the living God. And so in Lent, as the song said at the beginning, we're coming back to worship. We're coming back to worship the living God, because maybe my heart has wandered. Maybe I've made an idol of this person, or I've made an idol of that cause, or I've made an idol of this particular thing I really am devoted to. Whatever it is, football, who knows? Whatever the idol is, I now will turn back to the living God and worship Him. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who's won the victory over the temptations that come against us. Because the enemy will subtly throw temptations against us in one way or another. And notice at the end of the story there, it says the devil, having exhausted all of his attempts to get Jesus, it says that he left him to return at the appointed time. When was the appointed time? The Garden of Gethsemane. Did you see Gibson's Passion? Did you see the big snake? I hate snakes. Did you see the big snake making its way out in the darkness of the garden as Jesus is going through his agony? And did you see the sandal foot smash the head of the serpent? Because that was the ultimate temptation. The ultimate temptation for Jesus was the same as the temptations there in the desert. Not to go to the cross. To seek the glory without the cross. To seek and follow ambition for greatness in life without humility and love. That's what Jesus underwent. And a number of instances. Remember when they came to make him king? And he escaped into the hills. He didn't want the glory in that sort of way. He came to humble himself as a suffering Messiah. Remember Peter? When Jesus again was tempted after Peter had made his confession of faith and said, yes, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commends Peter. And then immediately Jesus starts to talk about going to Jerusalem, that he'll suffer, that he'll be put to death at the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees, and he'll rise again. And Peter says, wow, that's not in the script. And he drew him aside, and he remonstrated with him. He says, that's not right, Lord. That's not what we've got in store. We want you to be the glorious Messiah. You know, there'll be sort of people coming in there, thousands and thousands, and shouting out, we love you, we love you. We want that sort of thing. And we want you to show your military power and your and all your might and strength and bring about the kingdom that way. But that wasn't the way of Jesus. And what does he say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. The big temptation from Satan through Peter, his closest ally. Temptations can come from anywhere, my dear brothers and sisters. We have to be able to pick it. And Jesus saw it for what it was. Because the way you think is not God's way, but it's man's way. We have to always be looking to what is God doing and identifying the work of the evil one and rebuking that whenever it comes against us. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who has walked this earth before us, who has undergone every temptation that we experience, and has won the victory for our sake. And ultimately in the garden, the enemy came against him and said, it's a waste of time. They're going to reject you. It's hopeless. It's an idiotic project you're on. You may as well give up now. And Jesus could see in his mind's eye, no doubt, all of the rejection was going to happen down through the ages. All the many thousands of people who would just sort of ridicule his name. But Jesus held firm in trust of the Father. Take this cup from me, but your will, not mine, be done. He surrenders to the Father's will. And thanks be to God that Jesus trusted the Father in the midst of all of the suffering of his humanity. Thanks be to God that he made an obedient act of surrender, a sacrifice to the Father on our behalf. That's our redemption. That gives us the victory. So no matter what comes against you, don't give in. You don't have to give in. Remember in the garden there, Jesus says to his apostles, stay awake and keep at prayer. The two things they didn't do. They went to sleep and they didn't pray. While Jesus at that hour of greatest peril was praying desperately to the Father and was certainly awake and vigilant to everything that was being thrown against him. So there's a message for each one of us. If you want to plug into the victory of Jesus, stay awake. Lent is a time of waking up from our slumberous condition where we may have been allowing the enemy have too much sway in our lives, influencing us too much down pathways that are not good for us, the destructive pathways. And so now we become alert again to what's been happening, to the spiritual battle that we're still engaged in. And as long as we claim the victory of Jesus, we will have the win. The victory will be ours. Stay awake and pray. Paul says when he says, put on the armor of God, clothe yourself with Christ. He says, pray all the time. On every possible occasion, pray. Keep praying. May that invocation be within you all the time. Lord, our God, come to our help. Our Lord, make haste to help me. Didn't you hear it in the second reading? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So in the hour of temptation, call on the name of the Lord. Don't try and resist it in your own strength. You'll be done in. But stand strong in Christ. Hold strong in the victory that he has won for you. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Turn to him in your hour of greatest need. And remember, the very time when the Spirit is moving very strongly in your life, as it was in Jesus, at that very moment, that's the time oftentimes the enemy will unleash what power he has against you. And the Lord will allow that to happen. Why does he allow it to happen? He allows it to happen so that you will grow strong in the opposite virtue. He allows it to happen so he knows you will be tested, but through the very testing, you'll grow much stronger in your journey with the Lord. So not to be afraid. Don't fall into anxiety when temptation comes against you. Sometimes it can come very strong, and you think there's no way out of this. But Holy Scripture tells us very clearly that there is always a way out. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 that God is faithful. He will never allow you to be tested beyond your strength. And with every testing, he will give you a way out of it. That's the truth. So no matter what the testing is, no matter how strong it comes back upon you, you can stand strong in Jesus because the victory is already won, my friends. And what a celebration that is. Here at this Mass, as John Paul II once said, such profound words, that every Eucharist is more powerful if it's celebrated faithfully. Every Eucharist is more powerful than all the evil in the universe. Every Eucharist. So we come to the Eucharist tonight to eat of the body and blood of the Lord, to share in his victory, to be strengthened in our journey as we enter into Lent with greater awareness of the spiritual battle. Greater awareness of how we do get tempted and we oftentimes fall into sin as a result of temptation. But aware more strongly now that the victory has been won by Jesus. And here in the Eucharist, we plug into that victory very powerfully. Bring our weak human nature here and allow the Lord to do the recreating work in us that only He can do. But remember the other part, to be prayerful. Let Lent be a time of prayer. Let Lent be a time when we cry out to God. We cry out in the name of Jesus to the Father, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill me more. Strengthen me, so in the hour of peril, I may be able to survive. In the hour of temptation, I may be able to prevail." Because the fight that we're engaged in is not, as Paul says, against flesh and blood, but rather it's against all the spiritual army of evil in the heavenlies. And so we must stand strong in Christ, not in our own strength. Clothe ourselves with Christ. Put on His armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the truth, the belt of truth, the eagerness to spread the good news of the gospel of peace, being the shoes that we wear, and that hold up the shield of faith against the fiery darts of the evil one. Yes, let this Lent be a time when we actually rise up again and stand strong in Christ and stand in our true identity, not thrown around by the evil one's work, but rather standing strong in Christ, who keeps us protected in every way, because He is God. The enemy's whole purpose is to convince you that God's not really God, that He won't really do His stuff for you. And that's what He was trying to do with Jesus. Fancy that. He bombed it badly. And now Christ is the one who has brought God near to us. And nearer to us He cannot come than He has already come. And so He's not in some distant heavenly land where we cry out to Him and He doesn't hear us. No, He's right there with you in the midst of your struggle. And He'll give you all the power and grace you need to prevail and stand strong and to grow in a life of virtue. Yes, Lord, give us the faith. Give us the faith during this Lenten period to call upon Your name, Jesus, that we may be saved. Bless His holy name.